We're low in number, but hopefully high in spirit. Good to have you this morning at the Tabernacle Baptist Auditorium class. We praise God for another opportunity to be here. Thank you for attending, and we thank God for our church. I want you to pray for our pastor. He'll be preaching at 11 o'clock service, and pray for every Sunday school teacher that God will give us what we need to teach His Word. We thank God for our church family. We have a lot to pray for in just a few minutes. A lot of people going through bereavement, sickness. And first of all, let's look at the bulletin just for a moment, just to cover a few of these. I got some outreaches coming up on two Saturdays there in the bulletin. Don't forget that. Friend Day is going to be the 28th, and that's the same day that our revival starts. Brother Matt Franklin will be preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then Steve Cox, I'll be preaching for us Monday and Tuesday evening, so pray for these men. Their addresses are at the bottom. If you want to send them a card, let them know that you're praying for them. Senior luncheon, this is going to be on Thursday, April 18th. I'm sure that Susie and the pastor got this together at La Carreta Mexican Restaurant behind Cheddar's on Northeast Monroe there, so don't forget that. Pray for the teen camp. Looks like that Sandy and I are prayer captains this week, so if you have a prayer need, don't hesitate to call. We love our prayer chain. Okay, we have a lot to pray for this morning. I want you to remember Patsy and Charles's family. They have lost a grandson, and we just pray that God will intervene, that His grace will be sufficient. Pray for Robert and Phyllis, part of that family, that God will intervene and give them the grace and the strength they need during this time. I want you to remember Grace and Brandon. Now, Brandon's dad, you know, big old Brandon that sits back here, and Grace has got the two kids. Brandon's dad apparently is in hospice. His dad had some complications, and Sandy talked to Grace about 30 minutes on the phone a couple of days ago, prayed with her, and we just need to remember that family in prayer. They've been through a lot, so pray for Brandon, his dad, that the Lord's will will be done.
Thank you.
Okay, gotcha. So don't forget to pray for them. Sandy wanted me to mention she's got an aunt that lives in Abingdon, Virginia, Aunt Carol. She fell in someone else's driveway, and she actually broke her arm, and she crushed her pelvic bone, and there's nothing they can do for the crushed pelvic bone. It has to heal on its own. So she's having a time. She lives by herself there in Abingdon. Please pray for her recovery. Pray for Sandy's stepdad's son, James. They live up toward Tazewell, Virginia, and he passed away, I believe it was yesterday. Pray for this family. Last name is Griffith, the James Griffith family, going through bereavement. Please pray for them. Pray for those that can't be here for whatever reason. Sandy didn't get no sleep last night. She's sleeping now. Her fibromyalgia killed her all night last night. Please pray for our two daughters, Candy and Charity. The Lord will bring them back to the fold. Think of Ray and Sally. We miss them when they're not here. We think of Ron and Joan, Hubert and Margie. We think of Larry Compton. He's home now, but he's getting over being in the hospital a few days, and just pray for him that God will touch his body. I want to thank the people for praying for my niece, Stephanie Stevens. She's home now, recovering there in Bristol, and she had those three open-heart surgeries in 4 weeks' time, and she really went through it. But God brought her through all that, and we just thank God for answered prayer. Pray for Buck's granddaughter. Lord, to bring her back, Kayla. Alan Collins is going to have double lung transplant. Please pray for him. Susie's sister, Cleo, is in a rehab center. Pray for her. The Umberger family, he lost his sister, if you remember, about a week ago. Please pray for that family. All right, anybody else have a prayer request we need to know about? Yes. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, goodness. Okay. I hate that. Pray for Ron. He's had a time going in and out of the hospital, and now Joan's got pneumonia, so pray for these folks. We miss them when they're not here. Thank you, Buck. Anybody else have a prayer request this morning?
Miss Carter's in the hospital.
Yes, that's right. I almost forgot. Wilma's in the hospital. We love Wilma. She's on our prayer chain, so Sandy talks to her several times a week and pray for Wilma. She's been a member of this church, I don't know how many years, probably over 40, I'm sure. So pray for Wilma. She's a godly lady, and we miss her when she's not here. She's not been able to come to church for a few years. And pray for Wilma that the God will touch her and bring her back home soon. All right, thank you for that. Anybody else have a prayer request? Yes. Okay, yes, that's Patsy and Charles' grandson. It sure is. Pray for this family. God's grace will be sufficient. That's where Robert and Phyllis is, I'm sure. And just pray for this whole family. Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Anybody else have a prayer request? Well, we thank God for answered prayer, but we have so much to pray for. And we thank God that we're here and we can go to the Lord in prayer anytime, any day. Doesn't matter. And he knows every burden, he knows every request, he knows every family that's going through bereavement, he knows every family that's had sickness, folks in the hospital. We just need to trust God and that he knows all about it. And we thank God for time of prayer. All right, anybody else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for the day. Praise you for another day here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. We thank you for this church family. Thank you for our pastor. Empower him at the 11 o'clock worship. Please be with every Sunday school teacher. Father, give us boldness and courage to teach your word, and we thank you for what the word of God means to all of us. Be with these folks, Father. We've got so many on our prayer list, Father, so many going through bereavement. We think of this family. They lost the grandson. We pray for Patsy and Charles, for Robert and Phyllis, and all the family. Father, we pray that you'll give them grace during this time. Be with Wilma, Father. She's in the hospital. Please touch her body. Bring her back home. Be with Aunt Carol. She's got to go through rehab. Be with Brandon and Grace Sexton's family, Father, as Brandon's dad is in hospice. We just pray that your will be done and give that grace give that family a special touch of grace today. Be with those that can't be here for whatever reason. We think of Sandy. She'd love to be here. We think of Ray and Sally. Ron and Joan, please touch them, Father, as Ron's in the hospital and Joan's got pneumonia, Father. Please touch their bodies. We think of Hubert and Margie. Tina Trout is going to have some tests done. Please be with her. I'll be with Larry Compton as he's recovering. Father, touch his body. We thank you for answered prayer for Stephanie Stevens. Praise you for that. Be with Buck's granddaughter. Please, Lord, bring her back to the fold. And be with the Umberger family as they go through bereavement. Please be with those that have gone astray that once served the Lord. We think of Candy and Charity. Father, please bring them back to the fold, Lord. We love them and we pray for them every day. And Father, there's other folks in our church that's got kids, grandkids, nephews, cousins, whatever family that's lost, Father. And we know that we need to pray for them, Father. We'll never give up on them. And Father, you know each and every one that needs to come back. We praise you for what you're going to do in their lives. Now go with us today, Father. Thank you that we can open up the Word of God again. And Father, if there's anyone lost in our Sunday school classes or worship hour that's without the Savior, we pray the day be the day of salvation for them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about something this morning that's mentioned in the Bible several times. The great I am. When we think of the great I am, we Christians and believers think, of course, of the Lord Jesus. But you know, the world thinks of heroes being the great I am. And you know, I can see kids growing up as kids. You know, all kids have heroes, whether it be a sports figure, whether it be a person on television, a coach, a teacher, even their pet can be their hero. We understand that. As we get older and we become saved and born again, we know that the great I am, of course, is Jesus Christ. When I was a kid, my hero was Brooks Robinson. As a kid, I looked up to him, didn't even know him. I just known him from television, known him from sports. Brooks Robinson was one of the greatest third baseman defensive players that ever played the game of baseball. He actually won 16 straight Golden Gloves in his day. And he just passed away last year in September. He was 86 years old. But he, you know, as a kid, he was one of my heroes. I loved to watch him play ball. Didn't know him personally. Just one of those kid heroes that I chose him to be my hero. And you know, as we go through life, as we get older, we ought to have people maybe in our own family, maybe somewhere down the line, that somewhere in our family that we look up to people that's our hero. We as God's people, we need a hero that has a godly character. They should have godly morals. One who loves sinners. One has a big heart for people. You see, a hero is one who always encourages other people. When we go through a storm and we face a storm, we face a burden, do we have people in our life that we can go to that will pray for us? Do we have people that really care about what we go through? You know, when we think of these heroes, I think of people in the past that kids looked up to and probably look up to today. And I've just wrote some names down here. You'll know some of these. Pete Rose, Muhammad Ali, Peyton Manning, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Dale Earnhardt. We could go on that people have chose their heroes for some figure on TV or in sports. But I believe our hero today, as we live a Christian life, ought to be Jesus Christ. It says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What about Revelation 22:13? It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Sounds like a pretty good hero to me. Jesus Christ can not only be our Savior, but he can be our hero that we look up to, that we go to in times of distress, when we go through storms or trials, that we can look to. We got families in our own church right now that's going through bereavement, that's going through sickness, a hospitalization. They can look up to Christ for answers, there's no doubt. I did a little bit of research, and the phrase I am that's in the Bible, that phrase is found 196 times. I didn't realize that. Talks about the great I am 996 times. And the ones of us who've been saved and born again know without a doubt Jesus Christ is the great I am. There's been songs written about it. There's been sermons preached about it. And that's what I want to talk about today is the great I am. I want to turn to two different passages of Scripture, and both of them are in John. The first one is found in John chapter 11. I want to read just verses 25 through 27 for time's sake, but John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. It says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And then over in John 14, just a few chapters over, John 14, I want to read verses 5 through 12. These are very familiar verses in chapter 14. Starting with verse number 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a pretty good hero to look up to. If he had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, ye hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for this very work's sake. And then verse number 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall be shall he do, because I go unto the Father. I love those verses in John. It talks about our hero, Jesus Christ. And if we have a personal relationship with Christ, he's going to be our hero. We can go to him anytime, day or night. How can we all be persuaded that Jesus Christ should be our hero and the great I Am? I want to give you four attributes of the great I Am. The first one is the great I Am is all truth. You know, it's a sad picture when we look around our world today and people's coming out with different things that is farthest from the truth. The lies, the chaos, the things that are happening in our nation. You know, the ones of us that have been born again and saved, and we know the Bible a little bit about it, we know what the real truth is. There's no truth in movies. There's no truth in occults. No truth in a lot of movies that are seen on the picture TV. We have to be careful. We'll get steered the wrong way. You see, God's word and his promises are always true. We can depend on it 100%. We don't ever have to worry about it. It's not like those so-called sports figures or movie actors. You know, I look at the sports world and the movie industry, and I think not only do they have more money than they need, but a lot of them have never been saved. A lot of them's life is so mixed up. You can never find truth in the worldly system. And we don't want to be, we can pray for the worldly system, but we never want to become a part of it because it's against God. You will never find truth in those areas because a lot of the worldly system is full of evil, full of chaos, dishonesty, corruption. We can go on and on. But we know as God's people that his word, the Bible that we hold in our hand, his word is 100% truth. It will never hurt you, but always will help you. It will never mislead you, but always guide you in the right direction. And it will never lead you into sin, but will lead you into righteousness and purity. Sounds like a pretty good book to me. And I thank God that Jesus Christ can be our hero, because anything that we pick up that concerns the Bible and the promises that God gives us, it's always truth. We can never doubt it. I want to read a couple of scriptures over here in Psalms. Psalms 119, you know, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. But Psalms 119, I want to read two verses to you. The first one is found in verse 105. Psalms 119, 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I love that verse. And then skipping over to in the same chapter, verse 142, it says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." We thank God for the Bible, the ones of us that love it, that love its scriptures, love to go in and read his word. We thank God for the scriptures. Look at number two. This hero we talk about, the great I Am, is concerned when we are in a storm or facing a trial. You know, we can have people pray for us. We love people to pray for us when we're going through a storm. We have family members that hopefully a lot of them are prayer warriors. I know we've got prayer warriors here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I can tell you that. We've got some prayer warriors in this church that's been a member here for 40, 50 plus years. And Sandy and I have gotten to know them, and they have been a blessing to us. And you know, when we face a trial or we face a burden, we need a real hero that'll listen to us, and that's Jesus Christ. He'll always listen to us. If we have that personal relationship, we can bring anything to him in prayer, and he'll listen. He'll answer it in his own timing. He is concerned about every storm and trial that we face, and he wants to hear our pleas, and he wants to hear our prayer, and he enjoys carrying our burden. We talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago about burdens, and you know, there's some burdens in life that we can't carry on our own. If we tried, it would weigh us pretty much down. There's some burdens, there's things that happen in life that we don't understand. We have to take it to God and get his help. the burdens that we face, a lot of them we can't control. And that's why we need that hero, Jesus Christ, in our life. He knows everything about us. He knows every burden, every storm that we go through. And it's good to have a hero like that. We can look back and thank him and praise him for making us stronger and making us more dependent upon him. You know, the old saying goes, when we go through a trial or we go through a storm, when we get out of that storm, we ought to be stronger for the Lord Jesus. Our faith ought to be stronger. What we face in life, we ought to be stronger, and maybe, hey, somewhere around the corner, maybe we can help somebody else that's been through the same storm or same trial. And I thank God for that. I thank God that he has our burdens in his own hands. It's just amazing what the Bible teaches about that. And any burden that we have, no matter how small or how large, he's going to take it. And he's going to work with it in his own timing. He's going to answer that prayer in his own timing. And see, that's where faith comes in. We got to trust God that he'll take care of the situation, that he'll answer our prayers in his own timing. And we thank God for that. I want to read a scripture verse to you. One verse is so familiar to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've all heard this verse, and it's worth repeating. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I don't know how long I've had this marked in my Bible, but it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Isn't that something? No matter what we go through, God promised us he'd never give us more than we could handle. And that goes to show that any burden that we go through, we're not going to be able to handle it on our own. There's no way. People go through death of a loved one. They go through storms. They go through sickness. They go through different things in their life. And family members that are lost. We have to keep the faith. Yeah, we'd like our prayers answered right away, but God don't work that way. His ways are different than man's ways. So we have to keep the faith and trust God that he's going to take our burdens and carry them for us. And we have to trust him that he's going to answer that prayer the way he sees fit. Look at number 3. This hero, the great I am, will always love you no matter what your part is or where your life is now. You know, we talked a little bit about that a few weeks ago. About no matter what your past is, where your life is now, Christ is always there. He's the great I am. He loves you no matter what you've been through. That sounds like a pretty good hero to me. No matter what you've been through. And I can honestly say, I can see faces right now in the back of my mind that will not attend church because of past, what's happened in their past life. They don't understand God's forgiveness. They don't understand the word. They don't understand that God will take any situation, any past life, and throw it in the deepest sea. He'll give everybody a new start. No matter what your past is, no matter what you've done, if we could get that across to the lost world, I believe we'd have more people in church. His love is amazing. His forgiveness is amazing. And if we can trust that, no matter what the past holds or held for us, God will forgive and we can move on and serve him. If we just could get the lost world to see that. His love reaches out to those who are lost. Those lives that have been through the mud and the mire, and their life could be in shambles. You know, we don't say that word very much, shambles. I looked up that word. And it's defined as a scene or condition of complete disorder or ruin. Has your life ever been that way? Do you know people that's lives are in shambles? God even loves lives that have been in shambles. He loves sinners. He loves always to reach out to his children. He loves want to reach out to them no matter what we face. God's always there. Now, don't use God as a spare tire just because, don't just go to him because you run into a problem or run into a trial. He ought to be a part of our life every single day of the week, no matter what we go through, good days or bad. But God looks at the past as experience that we can learn from. God can forget the whole past, throw it in the deepest sea, and we can start a new life. If we could just get lost people to understand that, I believe we'd have more people in church today. His love will be like no other hero's love, and you can know it through his word and through his scriptures. I thank God for that attribute that he has, that he can take the past, forget it. He'll give everybody a new start, give everybody a new life. You remember the old-fashioned preacher back in the 50s and 60s, Billy Sunday. I read a few of his sermons that he wrote back then. And he was an alcoholic for years. He was against God for years. And when God cleaned him up and God called him to preach, Billy Sunday had to have faith in God that he would forget about the past. And he used Billy Sunday for I don't know how many years to preach his word. And there's other men we could talk about if we had time that God has used. We might know people in our own life that God has used, and they were a sinner in their miry muck and clay, and their lives didn't even care about God. But God can change lives. He can change lives around to love him and to love other people. His love will always be there like no other hero. You can know it, you can believe it, and you can have the faith that he can be our hero. The great I am. Doesn't matter about the past. You see, God looks at the now and the future. He wants to know what we're doing for him now. He wants to know what we're going to do for him for days ahead. We thank God for Tabernacle Baptist Church. It's changed a lot of people's lives. We can come here and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We had a former pastor that led us for so many years that was an example to us. His life was an example for the Lord. Our new pastor is an example for God. He's a worker. He is going day to day what God has him to do, and we've had new families come in. It's going to take time, but we love our church and what it's doing for the Lord Jesus. I want to read a few verses in Romans chapter 5. This chapter has so much in it, but chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8 in Romans chapter 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And then verse number 8, "But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We talked about a little bit last week on Easter Sunday about the cross, about the death, burial, and resurrection. Christ died for every single person, all mankind. The sins can be forgiven. Our past sins, our present sins, future sins are all forgiven by the blood of Jesus. If we could just get the lost world to understand. His forgiveness is real through his blood, and he paid the sin debt that we didn't have to pay. And that's just amazing for us as believers. Look at number 4. This hero, the great I am, wants to change lives for God's kingdom. Isn't that something? You see, that's the main purpose for the church, main purpose for every Christian. To change lives for God's kingdom. Isn't it wonderful to see a lost sinner that's been living in sin and the miry and muck? His or her life changed and now living for the Lord, Folks, that's a miracle. A miracle from God. But there's only one who can change lives, and he's the great I Am that we've talked about this morning. He wants to change our direction. He wants to change our attitude, our desire to not live in sin. He wants our hearts to be full of love, compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. That's what Christ wants us to have. To live a life for him, no matter what your past is, he'll give everybody a new start. He'll give everybody a fresh new life. If we'll only trust him that he'll do it, and he will. He promised that he would. You see, Jesus paid the sin debt for us. He shed his blood on the cross and gave his life for every single one of us. And you know, if you think about it, this hero that we've talked about, Christ Jesus, that's his specialty, changing lives. That's his specialty. That's what he wants to do. He knew there's going to be sinners out there that would live a sinful life and rejecting. And he wants those lives changed, and he wants every heart to humble themselves and look to Christ as their personal Savior. And we thank God for that. And when we accept him as our Savior and realize that he gave us life, a new life, a changed life, it'll also change our eternal home. Have you ever thought about that? You see, lost people's not going to be able to see heaven. They're not going to be able to see their loved ones. And the only other place you could go would be that awful place called hell. I don't think anybody wants to go there. But you see, each one of us have to make that decision for Christ. It's a one-on-one decision. And when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we have that new life. And we have a changed life, and we have an eternal home waiting for us. I look at the people that's gone on here at Tabernacle, not just the ones that have gone in the last year or so, but the ones that have been gone for years, what their testimony meant to us. And God seemed fit to go ahead and take them on to spend time with him. And I can see faces right now that used to sit over here and over here, that used to be here at Tabernacle for years, and they've been in heaven for quite some time. You see, we have that eternal home. If we've been saved and born again, we have that eternal home that he promises us. Isn't that something? When our life is over, that's really what all it's going to count. When our life is over, have we accepted Christ as our Savior so we can have that eternal home? I want to read a couple of verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, I love these verses, and verses 14 and 15 in chapter 5. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." And verse number 15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And then over in Romans again, chapter number 8. Romans 8 is probably one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. I want to read to you verses 35 through 39, the last verses in the chapter, Romans 8. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." And this, then verse number 39, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sounds like a pretty good hero to me. To have Christ Jesus as a hero will change our life. The ones of us that have already been saved and born again, it'll change our life. I want to close with a words to a song. This song might be The words might be new to you, but this was written several years ago, and the title of the song is The Great I Am. The last people that I heard sing it was the Inspirations years ago. I want to read you these words because it talks about what we have tried to talk about this morning. It says, God's children were in bondage in Egypt's land for many years when they cried unto their father through their pain and through their tears. Then he raised a man named Moses to lead them to the promised land. When Moses said, Lord, I am nothing, but God said, just trust me, the great I am. And the chorus goes like this, I am thy God, Jehovah. Is anything too hard for me? When the water is too high for crossing, I'll be there to part the sea. When the flames of doubt enfold you, I am the fourth man in the fire. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am your God. You are my child. Though we walk through the fiery trials, and though we trod the valley low, there's a refuge for God's children and a place where we can go. Just like Moses, I am helpless. By myself, I cannot stand. Then I hear the Savior whisper, just trust in me, the great I am. I am the rose of Sharon. I am your strength when you are weak. I am the great physician, the provider of all your needs. The lily in your valley when storms of life are raging wild. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am your God, and you are my child. That is a song that I haven't heard in a while, but the words to it absolutely tell us what we've tried to talk about today. And you know, that great I am, it talked about in that chorus, it says, I am thy God, Jehovah. Is anything too hard for me? Ain't nothing too hard for God. It don't matter what you go through. Don't matter what you face in life. He is the great Jehovah, and nothing's too hard for him. It says here, when the flames of doubt enfold you, I am the fourth man in the fire. Remember that in Daniel? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am your God, and you are my child. Do we have that kind of relationship with Christ? Do we have him as a hero? I hope that we do. You know, life is passing by fast. We talked about the other day, time goes by so fast, well, there's nothing we can do. We can't stop it. Time keeps on going. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. Some of us are getting up in years and we look back and we see, golly, where's time gone? We remember the days when our children were at home. Remember the days we were younger. And that just proves how time can go on. And as we live our life, we can have that hero which is found in Christ Jesus. I want to close with this verse right here. It says in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, it says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's probably where they got that. The words to that song was from that verse right there. Behold, I am the Lord, thy God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I hope that we'll realize that in today's world, you know, when we get adults, we need a hero that's going to carry us through. And I can't think of any better hero than the Lord Jesus. Take us through life. We can go to him any time of the day or night. All right. Anybody have anything to say? We're out of time already.